Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday morning. Tip drink, down goes the devil. Okay. Looks like we might get a little bit of a little storm system tonight around 8 p.m. Early bedtime for Mac Morey, he says. Chiefs play tomorrow night, 5:30, I believe. Hey, don't forget tonight, first episode of the new season of the franchise.
That's right, on tonight.
7 o'clock, I believe, nice. YouTube. So make sure you watch that because you have nothing else going on in your night except watching the franchise and getting juiced up for this season as we are almost there. We're almost there. And my bet, it was milligrams of caffeine. Definitely not grams.
Yeah, not
someone
grams,
goes, if it was 200 grams, you'd be dead.
Dead,
But who am I to judge? I have probably way too much coffee every morning, but here we are. I do want to get to this Gelati injury that we found out yesterday on the last day, as he has like a torn plantar fasciitis.
They're saying something. Ruptured plantar fasciitis.
It's a tough right. one, right? Onomatopoeia, or however you spell that word. But again, I mean, and we'll dive into that because we talk about the Chiefs being on, we talk about, you know, the franchise and about all of you loyal fans out there that will watch because you will, because we know it. The ratings for preseason down a little bit so far, but Chiefs viewership is not, because the Rams and the Chiefs set a decade high rating number when it came to their preseason game last weekend.
Well, it's because that's what people want. They want the Chiefs. I mean, it's crazy that even after that 6-11 season, the Chiefs are still the team that's getting all the recognition and all the eyeballs on, you know, what's going on. Now, the Rams are obviously a top team as well, but everybody knew they weren't bringing anybody. But to have the highest watched preseason game nationally in a decade involving the Kansas City Chiefs shows you the draw that this team continues to have, and shows you why they're continually on, you know, Monday Night Football, watching Monday Night Football last night or whatever we were calling it on ESPN, and them constantly previewing the Chiefs game and getting ready for their first game on, you know, September 14th. And this team is still an intriguing football team. It's still a fun football team. And Patrick Mahomes is still the biggest damn draw in the NFL. And coming off injury now, there's probably a lot more people that want to see what's going to happen with the Kansas City Chiefs, because you'll have your two groups of the grouping that thinks it's over, that roots against them, and people like me who believe 17-0, 35-0, let's go, that are going to be rooting for them. And so they're the perfect team to have on any national television schedule. 2.5 million people watched that preseason game the other night.
Yeah, Rams Chiefs surpassed last year's Dolphins Bears game to become the most watched week one preseason game of on NFL Network since 2015. Viewership was up 9% from Saints Chargers, roughly 2.18 million in the same window last year. Did the time slot have anything to do with it? Because wasn't that game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, it was, which I would think would hurt it, quite honestly.
Because that's, and maybe I'm, you know, ignorant on this, isn't like 2:30, 3 o'clock like considered prime time for college football?
Well, for college
that's
football,
like the
it
prime
is.
Window?
Yeah, it is. But we're also in the middle of summer right
no,
now, too.
No sports yet.
Yeah, but even still, we're still in the middle of summer. I mean, people are going to the pool. People are doing kids stuff. You got stuff going on. Like 3 o'clock on a Saturday, I'll be honest with you, as a parent, that time sucks because there is a lot going on usually if you're in the mix of everything. And so I just don't look at that as a great time on a random Saturday in August. And that's why it was only 2.5 million people. I mean, it's not like we're breaking records and setting
No. I'm just saying because it's up and, you know, they the teams are irrelevant. I guess when it comes to like, because Dolphins, Bears, like, why would that be a huge?
Well, Bears was a good draw last year with Caleb Williams. Yeah. And it's a big market too. And I think the Dolphins were kind of intriguing, I think, at this point of the year last year. You didn't really know what they were going to do. Tyreek Hill was still part of the program down there. And, you know, they were still trying to, but not enough to watch a preseason game. I think that was probably all with Caleb Williams of people wanting to see kind of the new offense there. But 3 o'clock is a good time for a, if you're in the swing of things during college football and there's a big game on, 3 o'clock in August on a Saturday afternoon when it's summertime, people are still at the lake and doing their thing. So I don't know. I just think that's a bad time. If I was going to do a preseason game, I think like the perfect time would probably be a Saturday night.
Like Saturday, 5:30?
Yeah, 6 o'clock, probably 7 o'clock, you know, whatever, you know, time that is to kind of have a Saturday night game. You know, people kind of do their day on Saturday and then go out to the game. But I mean, you see these preseason, not a lot of people going to any of these preseason games.
Well, yeah, especially last week when it was 117 on the field. I don't know if you really want to do that.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. 3 o'clock on a Saturday?
Yeah, going out to the game, and we're talking about watching it, though. You know, ratings, you know.
Yeah.
That's different than going out to the game.
Yeah, I don't think people set aside time to watch preseason
football. Disagree with you on this very game, because that was the first Chiefs game where they haven't had, you know, because that's where the market moved. That's where the needle spiked was probably Kansas City, because the season ended so quickly last year. Your baseball team hasn't really given you a lot to cheer for. They did sweep the A's. That was kind of cool. I think a lot of people were, you know, ready to watch football, and it was at 3 o'clock. And I know you say we're in the middle of summer, but in the way of life, we are at the very end of summer.
Sure. We are.
Some kids are already back in school. Mm-hmm. Some kids are going back to school. At least Summit goes back, I believe, Wednesday next week. Finally. And I think that so many people were interested in watching football, at least in this demographic, that I think people did plan Saturday for it.
Yeah, maybe they did, yeah.
And again, like, to your point exactly, but maybe like the opposite approach, people had the whole evening. You're not watching four quarters of football, right? Especially that one. As soon as Oladokun's in, you're like, all right, what do we need to do tonight? I'll start prepping dinner. Or 3 to 5 o'clock, you're like, that 2 hour window is blocked off. I just want to chill, watch whatever is entertaining on the game. And oh my God, this Emmett Johnson guy's really good. And then 5 o'clock, you go do your
thing. Yeah.
But I think to your point also, to play both sides of it, I don't think in preseason people are ever like, hey, Bill, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, Saturday, I'll be over a little late. Game's on at 1. You know, you're not doing that.
No, you're not. Yeah, you're not having a watch party for the preseason game.
And I think you'll see a dip in game 2.
Oh, I would think so, too. Especially this one being like 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I mean, that's kind of in the wheelhouse of everybody getting ready to go out the door and do their thing on Saturday night. So
perfect window for dinner.
Yeah, like you're
you got your itch last week. You know, you got three more weeks until it starts. You're not trying to.
You said that was better time.
Yeah, what's
6
that?
O'clock. You just were saying
Saturday
it's
night
time.
For TV.
Saturday was better than 3 o'clock.
No, I think Saturday night's fine for TV. If you're going to watch it on TV, it's fine. I don't think Saturday at 3 o'clock is good for TV at all. No, I don't. I think it's terrible.
No, I
TV
agree with you,
game,
but you were just saying people are going to get ready to do their stuff Saturday night. They're going to be rolling out the window.
That's what I'm saying.
You're just saying that time slot's not good. So you're saying both time slots aren't good.
No. I'm saying about that 3 o'clock time slot isn't good because you're busy with stuff. And then if you're going out, you're going out. Maybe you catch the game at the bar or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for me. I've got things going on tomorrow. I may catch the game. I may not catch the game. Right. It's just one of those type of things. And I think that's where a lot of people are with these preseason games. I think Saturday night at 7 o'clock, if you're trying to fill a stadium, you're trying to get a draw, maybe that's the best time to do that if you're trying to fill up your ballpark for something like that. I don't think there's really any great time for preseason games on TV except last night, you know, Thursday night, something like that. A.M.
8 a.m. on a Saturday.
8 a.m. on a Saturday morning would be fantastic. You know, do something different like that.
Absolutely.
I don't think people prioritize preseason football.
Yeah.
And I don't think they should prioritize preseason football. Well, there's one guy that does, but you know, but for the most of us, you know, like, yeah, the game's on, but I've got other stuff going on.
Yeah.
I prioritize the regular season and postseason, obviously, but the preseason is just, if it's on, it's on. If it's not, it's not. If I got a minute here and a minute there, that's great. But I think that's the way most people are with the preseason stuff. There's your diehards.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh yeah. I mean, cause especially now, right? You know, because now you know more young names, like, you know, Cyrus Allen. He's going to be on the field on Saturday, so we'll get to see him. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw what Micah Parsons had to say about the Chiefs. We'll get into that a little bit later as well, as he doesn't think the Chiefs put enough around Patrick Mahomes to win the AFC West.
Who said that?
Micah Parsons. Do you want the quote?
That's fair.
Okay. I do not think the Chiefs put enough around Patrick Mahomes to win the AFC West or go make another title run. They let go of every bit of their talent, pretty much. Trent McDuffie left, and you just don't let those types of players leave.
Who's asking him about the Chiefs?
I don't know, but then he said it's hard for me to say that they are ready to win. They're wide receivers. I just don't see them really threatening anyone. They've got an older Kelce who's a Hall of Famer, but you can't bank on him to win.
He's ready for ESPN right now with these takes.
We also don't know what Mahomes is going to look like after that injury. Does he miss a couple of games? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
No, buddy.
This is why we Micah Parsons. This is why we don't ask athletes their opinions on things, because they're clueless. I mean, let's go, Michael. Come on now.
Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders. His AFC West prediction.
Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders. Yep. Okay, so Michael Parsons is on the record of doing that. Great.
He just BBL copy and pasted
stinky.
2026.
I mean, those are just bad takes. I don't even know. Did he just say he doesn't know Patrick about? Like, who's asking him about his take on the NFL? But like I said, those are perfect takes for ESPN and national networks.
Yeah.
Because those are bad takes.
If he was talking about the last few years, I would totally agree with him. I mean, yeah, we've all talked about that. Not surrounding Mahomes with enough talent. That's happening. I mean, his number one wide receiver last year is not going to make the team in Philly if he weren't for making $5 million to Hollywood Brown.
They may trade him, though.
His number one receivers a couple years ago are out of the league. Like, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's conversations to be had, but
he
doesn't know about the rookies and the draft class and things like that.
That is harsh to a point. His number one wide receiver was that guy because of default.
Fair, but it was
one of your receivers that you did surround him with talent happens to be an idiot outside of the field.
Yeah.
The other one ran into Travis Kelce. So therefore it was Juju by a little bit. But I'm with you as
Hollywood
well.
Brown.
Hollywood everywhere.
Brown was a big part of the what we were talking about before the season.
And you
was a big
liked
part
him.
Of the stuff. I did.
You went to the bat about how he actually doesn't miss a lot
of games. Doesn't miss games. Yeah, right.
And he missed a lot of games.
And he missed games and he wasn't good. And
he was a failure last year. And I think also too though, your top two wide receivers go down. Was he here 2 years? That's right. Mm-hmm. He was injured that first year. That's right.
Injured his clavicle in the first preseason game.
First preseason game, and then it was out and we never saw him again. And then so with a guy like, you know, Hollywood Brown and some of these wide receivers, what are you supposed to do? Like Dusty said, your top two wide receivers are out. Like, nobody has a third that's a one. You just don't.
Yeah, and we don't know if those top two wide receivers, how good they really are yet.
Yeah,
right. So we'll see if they're
again,
good.
And then they've
added a fifth round pick.
And I just said that because it was a little bit of a smart ass line to say his number one just got cut by the Giants. Because, I mean, it was his number one by default last year. But I'm also with you. Where is the talent? You know, you had Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. You thought they were going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then you had to go out. But we'll see. That in the past now, hopefully they move forward. We like this draft.
Yes.
We are a little bit concerned, with the Gelati injury.
I mean,
what does that say to you about Gelati now? That's 2 years. We're talking about injuries.
Exactly right.
The best ability is availability.
2 in 2 years.
And now it means what? One of two things. Either it's this is your last shot, FAU. Or does R. Mason Thomas just say, F it, let me just run wild?
Well, I think both are making the team, though.
I'm not saying anybody's getting cut.
Yeah.
I'm saying they don't have anyone. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying this because, like, Felix Anduke Uzama has been a heel in this city since he was drafted in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, he's from K-State. No one cares. And just they've never seen it on the field, and they don't believe it's ever going to be there. And it gets thrown in Brett Veach's face of a failed draft pick. It's always so easy to find ones that, you know, stick out the most instead of going and being like, let's look at 22. Let's possibly look at 26. But hey, he drafted FAU. Cool, man. But this is, to me, Uzama's like fat, like his it's his last chance. Like, it's, hey, man, Gelati's hurt, a guy we drafted after you, who was probably going to play more than you, who is now going to be out until maybe Halloween. FAU's got a chance, but then also R. Mason Thomas, who we say, you know, this is why I say preseason games are meaningless, but they're not. Because if R. Mason Thomas goes out there again this week, guys, and shows the explosiveness and shows them what they want to see, we might see more of him than we thought we might have seen all year.
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of R. Mason Thomas. I don't know that this injury really affects how much he was going to play because he's a stud. I mean, he's got so much speed. You can't keep that guy off the field. And now, you know, FAU's got an opportunity. They've loved what he's done in camp so far, so he's got an opportunity. And this is his last chance. They already declined the fifth-year offer, you know, on FAU. So this is his make-it-or-break-it season, not just here, but potentially elsewhere in the NFL as well. And so he's got a lot riding on this. And so I think when you you're dealing with athletes, and hopefully, and maybe this is me just being altruistic with this, but I think when you're playing for your job and you're playing for your livelihood, you step it up and you play big. And so hopefully FAU can do that this year, because he is playing for his livelihood. Again, not just here, but potentially with other teams. And if he doesn't do good here, there's 31 other teams that are going to say, we got other guys that we can go with as well. So it's an opportunity right now for FAU. And you look at, you know, Gelati, they're saying 3 weeks for this ruptured patellar tendon, or not patellar tendon, but plantar fasciitis in his foot. And so 3 weeks can get by with that, but you just got to move on. And somebody else needs to step up. Like, yeah, injuries happen. What are you going to do about it? You know, you just move on. And that's why you have depth. That's why you went out in the draft and stocked your defensive line. And so now you just got to kind of figure things out, and hopefully he heals quick. He's a fast healer, and you can get him back out there when you get him back out there. But you just got to move on in these situations.
It's like the worst position group for this to happen to, pretty much. We've talked about how thin it was. They had four guys that I would not even say trusted, because FAU, we don't trust. R. Mason Thomas is a rookie. We had four guys that were going to play, now Emmanuel Ogba will play.
Of course.
Has to play.
He's more than a practice squad.
He's now more than a practice squad.
Get ready to know
Tyreek
Smith. Like, that's a name that's going to be on the field. That's a nobody that's going to have to play
snaps.
We
might as well cancel the season with Tyreek Smith on the field. I mean,
I thought they were getting Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Is his cousin? Because if you look at...
I'm not saying cancel the season, but you know what I mean, Bob. It's a thin position group, and that was someone that was very important.
Is it, though? I mean, like, we were talking about beginning a camp, Mac, of going eight deep on the defensive line.
No, you were, and then I made the correction to say defensive line and edges. We do not have edge rushers. Get ready to see Chris Jones way more out on the edge. You know, you might have to see Peter Woods be more versatile. Those are defensive linemen, interior. Edge rushers,
I mean,
four guys. We've been talking about that all
offseason.
And you
play two edge rushers at a time, and so, you know, four-man defensive line, one edge rusher, two guys in the middle, another edge rusher. So now you've got two guys behind them. I mean,
and we don't like any of these guys. Well, we got questions on Karloff.
I disagree with you, though. I don't hate these people like you do. Okay,
I don't hate them. I'm just saying we don't trust any of these guys.
But that's you. I don't feel that way. I feel like you're in the system long enough, and if Steve Spagnuolo is putting you out there and trust you in those situations, do they all need to play better? Yes, I'm not saying that. Everybody needs to step their game up and play better. But I can't be like you and sit here. I don't trust those guys. That's not true.
Trust FAU right now.
Do I trust him to do what?
Be productive.
To get to the quarterback. They've been bottom five in sacks the last two seasons.
Be honest with you, Mac. I don't have enough evidence to say whether or not I trust him to get to the quarterback. But I think this season for me, he's been injured. You know, do I trust his availability? No. Do I trust his ability on the field? I don't know.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem when
you have four guys. You should know what you're getting. And like, we know that that's a problem, because George Karloftis is not. Okay, I think there's only one group that thinks of Karloftis, and I think that's his own group. That's his ownership. Like, that's the team that is giving him the contract. I don't think George Karloftis, I'll be honest with you, I don't trust George Karloftis to get to the quarterback.
Okay,
I said
that's
it
fine.
Out loud.
Because
he hasn't done it in his entire career except for one playoff run.
Yep.
And that was great.
And it was awesome.
That was great. Trust me, I'm not taking that away from him.
Right, yeah.
But that was 2022. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know when FAU's on the field. That's a problem. I admit, I am worried about FAU as a defensive edge. R. Mason Thomas, that's where I'm on your side of the field. I don't know what to expect, because I've never seen him play. Now, I watched him play against the Rams, but that wasn't against their starting team.
No, but you can see speed with that guy.
But I know that I have more interest in him because
really
he shows me something that none of these guys have shown in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you... This is why they couldn't get off the field last year. Because Justin Herbert, Bo Nix, and whoever else in your division was playing quarterback knew they had all the time in the world. And when you have all the time in the world, your confidence expands. And when you have that confidence, I don't care if you're Bo Nix or Bo Craps, you're going to be able to do things on the field. You have to have somebody that gets to the quarterback, and they don't have edge pieces. And when Jones goes outside, they then go inside because you didn't have the depth there. Now, thankfully,
you do have the depth there. Now you got Tonga.
Now you do have some other defensive linemen you can put in there.
Those are edge.
He's talking about if you have to move Jones outside, then you've got guys that can fill in where last year you didn't have guys that can fill in.
And that also, I don't like that, because then Jones isn't going to, he's not quick enough to get outside. He's just going to stop the edge, and then they're going to go inside.
Well, unless he goes the wrong way.
Which he's done.
Yeah, I know. Which he's done.
I don't trust Chris Jones as an edge rusher, but I obviously love him at defensive tackle. I just think that, you know, this is something where, like, it's FAU. You have to step up.
But
it's
we're acting like Gelati was this huge piece to a puzzle, though. I mean, he is a second year guy, okay, and he played good last year. But it's not like I don't think we're rewriting the season because this guy is down. There are other guys out there that are allowed to step up, right? FAU is allowed to get better.
Yeah,
George Karloftis is allowed to get better.
It's year four for FAU.
I understand what I mean? but they're allowed to get better. But we have not seen him enough to play, and so I'm anxious to see FAU play a little bit and see, you know, what he can do. Maybe he has been a diamond in the rough that's just been dealing with injuries or dealing with the right situation or whatever the case may be.
Played 17 games in 17 games in 23 and 24. He was there. Yeah. He was healthy. I mean, that's 34 games. I mean, at some point, there's enough evidence. And that's actually part of the point. You're talking about Peter Woods. He wasn't some big factor. Or Ashton Gelati wasn't some big factor. That's the point. They didn't have a big factor of the edge. They just lost someone with a thin position group. That with guys that were optimistic about, you know, camp clips of FAU look solid. R. Mason Thomas, the speed's there.
Yeah, but down on it. I'm not. And so you can tell me.
I'm not saying I'm down. I'm just saying there's not any knowns here. There's no trust that I have with any of these guys yet. They're going to have to build that. And there is evidence with some of this.
Well,
they have not been able to pressure the quarterback.
You're right.
There's analytics. There's stats to go off of. We eye test, whatever you want to do. They've struggled to get to the quarterback.
Sure they have. And they got new guys in here now. So let's let them go out there and see what they can do. Like, I'm excited to watch FAU. I am. Yeah. I'm excited to watch George Karloftis in this system with another guy potentially on the edge and R. Mason Thomas that can get to the quarterback. Other guys on the defensive line that can push the pocket. Maybe Karloftis gets more one-on-ones. Like, I'm going into it like, these guys are going to get better. I trust these guys. I trust this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I trust them to put the players in the best possible positions. And I trust these players. Like, you're playing for your livelihood out here right now. Go out there and dominate.
And to go to what you're saying about Gelati and what this text message is saying about Gelati, like saying that everyone's asking like he's Frank Clark. No, he's just, to me, he's just been that much better than FAU, which is not a high bar. I'm not saying that, like, you know, he was here and FAU's here. I'm just saying from what I noticed Gelati on the field last year. Yeah, you could say it was his hair, whatever. But I noticed when he was on the field, when FAU's on the field and they're like, I'm like, who was that? Oh, that's Felix. Good man. He got in there. Good for you.
Yeah.
But again, and I'm not saying the sky is falling because of this, but like, we had the conversation about the bullpen in February.
Mm-hmm.
We're having the conversation about getting to the quarterback in August.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we're talking about in October.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I just believe in this coaching staff and these guys and these players, and I think they're going to step up. Like, they were embarrassed last year, too. I mean, nobody wants to go through what they went through last year. I think it's a renewed sense of optimism. I think it's a renewed sense of focus. Like, you're hearing all the stuff. I think they got lazy last year, man. From top to bottom, the entire organization got lazy last year. And now they understand that, and they're not lazy this year. And I don't think that's a negative thing to say. It's human nature. You know, Jimmy Buffett, it's human nature to miscalculate. And you think that you're just rolling along, everything's going to be fine. And then, boom, it's always in life. You hit a brick wall, and all of a sudden you're like, you're not ready for that. And that's where the Chiefs were. They were just cruising along, thinking everything was great. And then, boom, that brick wall hit, and now they had to divert, and they had to adjust, and they had to change, and they had to do different things. I guarantee you every one of these players that was on that team last year that's back this year worked out differently this offseason, focused differently this offseason, put more effort into the offseason than they had before, because they're coming off a 6-11 season.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
That's why I think the 6-11 year may turn out to be one of the most important things in this new wave of this dynasty.
We'll get to pressure and what it means for C.J. Stroud moving forward in the NFL this season, plus others here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Mansoor Delane, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.